This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. Amen? Thank you, Master, for your mercies, grace, and faithfulness. What a time and season we're in. You know, we're coming into the feast, the Passover, first fruits. Amen? Feast of Unleavened, which is, and then the Feast of Pentecost. In the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If you say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So what prevents you from walking in darkness? Practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect, you'll make a mistake, but you repent quickly. Amen? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's amazing how many times you'll talk to somebody that isn't a believer, and they have said, well, I'm a good person, I don't sin. But the word says they're liars. Amen? We've all committed sin one way or another. Now, in this is the message. The message. What is the message? The message is the message of truth, isn't it? But there's an end result of a message. The end result of a message should always bring revelation and contact. It should bring what? Revelation and contact. Now, there are messages that are direct, and there are messages that are indirect. So there is a message that's direct, and there's a message that's indirect. A direct message is usually understood. An indirect message needs to be interpreted. There are now maybe a personal message. There may be a message to the church as a body or whole, and there is a message to the world. So there are direct and indirect messages that we've got to grab hold of here. Again, a direct message is something that is understood. An indirect message is not understood and must be interpreted. They are personal for the body and the church, and there's world for the world. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and having become so much better than angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Various times and in various ways. In other words, these were direct and indirect messages from God. Direct and indirect messages. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no what? Speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. In other words, this is a message, it's an indirect message that must be interpreted. How many know signs are indirect messages that must be interpreted? Does everybody get it? But once they are interpreted, what happens? It becomes a what? Direct message. Amen? And what's its purpose when it becomes a direct message? To bring revelation and contact. Contact with God. Contact in the Holy Spirit. You know, I really believe that when the Holy Spirit said to me, I had a whole, again, it's one of those divine interruptions. He said, I want you to talk about direct and indirect messages. All right. What are those? And he began to explain to me and download. And as I began to really grab hold of this and begin to research some of the things, I thought, how amazing. Because see, without the Holy Spirit, you can't interpret the message. So there are people, even the Bible itself is an indirect message that must be interpreted by the Holy Spirit to become a what? Direct message, which brings revelation, connection back to God. And Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, now wait a minute, if Jesus speaking to them, is that a direct message? Yes. Amen. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Is that happening now? Yes, it is. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This was a direct and an indirect message. Because the indirectness about it is they didn't know exactly when it was going to happen. Think about this. You're talking 2,000 years later, this is happening. You know, for them, parts of it was happening then. So they figured this was all going to manifest then. Remember, they kept asking Jesus when he was going to destroy the Roman Empire. But Jesus was, that's not what it was about. Why? Because they didn't interpret many of the things Jesus said. And when some of the things he said, they were offended because they didn't understand, especially when he spoke in parables. Especially when he told them they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood. They really freaked out. He lost many of his disciples because they had no interpretation. Because the Holy Spirit was not yet released. Amen? So even now in the world, there are many people out there where God is releasing direct and indirect messages, and they can't grab hold of either of them. Neither one. So again, they didn't know when. They only had details. Amen? They had details, but they couldn't comprehend when. But as far as they were concerned, it was happening for them right then and there. Doesn't the word tell us how many of the prophets were wanting to, as they were waiting because they knew, they prophesied about Jesus coming. But they didn't know when he was going to come. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by Joel, the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved." So you see, dreams and visions and prophecies, these are direct and indirect messages. Some dreams and some visions need to be interpreted. Amen? But most of the time a vision, I want to explain this, most of the time a vision is what it is. It is what it is. In other words, it speaks about itself right then and there. Most of the dreams have to be interpreted. Almost all of our dreams have to be interpreted. Unless you see somebody like an angel in a dream that tells you exactly what to do face to face. Everything that's face to face is a direct message. If it's not face to face, it's an indirect message. Does everybody understand that? And so people can misinterpret messages that are indirect, can't they? Unless it's by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So there are direct and indirect messages that you and I must begin to understand. Again, some of the dreams and visions, they need to be interpreted. They can bring prophetic release after the interpretation. Why? Because its purpose is to what? Bring revelation. Revealing. And to bring contact again. Visions, and prophesying, visions are more common with interpretation. As they were speaking and the prophet Joel was speaking, the purpose of the end result was salvation was the end result of this message to them, wasn't it? As Peter stood up and spoke, he was declaring what the prophet Joel had spoken already. So what was he doing for them? He was actually releasing an indirect message. Well, it was a direct message to the people, but it was still need to be interpreted because the people that were there were Peter was standing up and telling them. To them, it was an indirect message until Peter explained it. Then it became a direct message and people got saved. Why? Because it brought what? Revelation. Everyone say revelation. Oh, how important it is today. How important it is. See, people are taking false messages as a direct message. They're not getting revelation. They're just believing in it. Think about all the media and all the other stuff and why people were taking and all the other stuff and dying left and right and whatever. Because they were believing in a message that was directly from liars. And so they did not consider even interpreting that message or finding out whether it was true or not. And they just accepted it, believed it, did it, and died. Or became sick and ill. Or marked. Amen? Well, thank God they can repent now and turn away. Hallelujah. And Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1, please. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem. that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels and had them and had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed. I bet. I'm surprised he didn't pass out. And his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his knees were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Man, he was playing a new tune. Knee knocking music. Then the king cried aloud to bring, he cried aloud, in other words, he screamed, to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. So, this message that came was an indirect message, wasn't it? Amen? It needed to be interpreted. Now, all the kings and wise men came, but they could not read the writing or made known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. Now, remember, this Belshazzar king, his father, Nebuchadnezzar, became a righteous king. He favored Daniel, you remember? He declared everyone had the praises of the God of creation, whose God was Daniel's God. But when he passed, his son took over. He didn't learn what his father had gone through. Remember, his father, because of his rebellion towards God, God turned his heart into a heart of an animal. And he lived in the fields and ate pasture grass and food from the ground for 7 years. Then God turned his heart back. I think he got humbled. Think about that. Can you imagine being a human and turning into an animal? That's not, reincarnation or whatever? No, it's none of that crap. When God changes your heart, you become a different person. But he became an animal. Hallelujah. So the queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. You know, you'd think if they knew that there was a man with the spirit of the holy God, why wouldn't they go after the holy God? Because they were bound by religion. They served themselves. Gold and silver was their gods. And they partied all day long. Hello? And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now, let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Wow. Very, very powerful. So, the writing on the wall, of course, it was the end result of it was, he said, your time's up, homie. Should have followed your father. And today I will take the kingdom out of your hand. That night, they got invaded, and he died. Hello. But again, it was an indirect message. But Daniel went and prayed, and God spoke to him in a dream and got a direct message. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. So there was indirect and in, so that indirect message needed to be what? Interpreted. But none of their people could interpret it. So only through the Holy Spirit can things be interpreted correctly. Your imagination can't interpret things. Your soul can't interpret things. Your way of thinking can't interpret things. In fact, most people vision out of their soul instead of out of the spirit. And there's a difference between the vision out of the soul and out of the spirit. Because the soul will give the vision of the heart's desire. Does everybody get it? But a vision from the spirit gives it from God's heart's desire. And that's different. Habakkuk. I don't know anybody named that right now. Poor kid would be mocked like crazy. Sheesh. Can you imagine naming kids Lucifer? They might as well call him demon. Or devil. Okay. Habakkuk 2 verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he, capital letters, the Lord, will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will what? Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Again, we need to write the vision. Again, most visions are indirect messages. Are direct messages. Most visions are what? Direct messages. Most dreams are indirect messages that need to be interpreted. So if you get a vision that you don't understand, it's an indirect vision, and it needs to be interpreted. That's all it's to it. So when you write it down, in other words, you can come to me and tell me you have a vision but during a service or something, and if I don't have time to hear what you're saying, I'll tell you, write it down. But if you're writing it down with and not in need of interpretation, I'll read the vision and throw the paper out. Why? Because it was a vision and you didn't need it, you weren't looking for the interpretation. Does everybody understand that? If you're not looking for the interpretation, then you know what it is. Hello. Does everybody get that? Good. So it's important. And not only that, it's if you do write it down, and if you're going to hand it in for interpretation, make sure you have a copy of it just in case I lose it. I get, but majority of the time when somebody's asking for an interpretation of a vision or dream, I know it's going back to them. I'll write right on that paper and give it back to them. Amen? So that they get it. But again, this is where we got to know whether the dream is a direct dream or vision is a direct message or an indirect message. Amen? It's important. Because if we can't discern that, then sometimes God won't give them anymore. We should be looking for them. What does it say? This guy here, Habakkuk, was waiting for it. He was waiting for it. He's looking for it. Now look it. Doesn't a true disciple look for revelation every day? So if a true disciple looks for revelation every day, he's looking for a dream, vision, or a prophetic word to be released. Even the prophetic words that are being released, we still need to what? Interpret. Because prophetic words that are released are not always direct messages unless it's an interpreted. Does everybody get it? Now, some of them are, but some of them are. Now, think about it. Somebody says, well, this is going to happen on this and such a date, and it doesn't happen. But it doesn't mean that the prophecy wasn't released, that it's not correct, but it's not, it wasn't truly interpreted. Amen? So the dates, that's why most people don't like to prophesy with a date type of thing. Because who the heck knows the date and time? Only God knows the final end. But we can prophesy in a person's life and certain things that are going to happen. I mean, I prophesied over somebody's life 25 years ago, 26 years, whatever it was. And it's coming to pass now, which we're involved in that whole operation. But, you know, I get calls from people and letters from people, thank you for your word, this, that, whatever. Of the, I don't even remember. I do not keep track of all those things, but God does. Amen? I don't write all down my dreams and visions and whatever. You know, I'm not saying not to. It's good to keep a log of certain things so you can go back and look and find out what happened. But I'm not one that looks back. I look forward. I go, whatever comes from my past up, I need to discern by the Holy Spirit what I'm supposed to do with it. Whether I'm supposed, it's a direct or indirect message. Direct or indirect message. Everything. Your life is always looking at the area, whether it's an indirect or direct message. Amen? Now, if your boss comes up to you and says you're fired, you can discern that that's a direct message. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12. Don't ask him if you need interpretation. Do I need to interpret that? Hallelujah. This is how people fall out of God's time. Because they make decisions according to how they feel instead of because they've never interpreted the message. In fact, sometimes they create their own message. Hebrews 12, verse 25. We've heard this before. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake. Not only the earth, but also heaven. What is that? That's an indirect message, isn't it? He's letting us know. Why? Because when a shaking is happening, people they don't know what's going on. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Those that refuse to hear or to do, they never interpreted the message, the warning. They didn't take heed to it, did they? And they got caught up in the shaking. And it's important right now because those who cannot interpret will be lost. They're not willing to interpret. They're not willing to interpret what the message is. God has been speaking from every area. He's trying to save as many souls as possible before the wrath of God. So there'll be the judgment of God first, then the wrath of God. In Proverbs 29, in verse 18, it says, where there's no revelation, which means where there's no interpretation of a direct or indirect message. The people cast off the restraints of the flesh, and they will not be able to restrain the evil. But happy is he who keeps the law. Did you understand that interpretation? Hallelujah. Again, I will say that again. 29:18. Where there's no revelation or where there's no interpretation. Because revelation comes by interpretation. Amen? The people cast off the restraints of their flesh. And then they can't restrain the evil one. Submit to God, resist the devil. Amen? But happy is he who keeps the law. the way of the Spirit. So when my wife speaks to me from the second floor, every message is indirect. I have to interpret every single one. Or if her head's in the dryer while she's speaking to me, indirect. Hallelujah. And verse 11. That's a good one to start saying, huh? I'm sorry, honey, that was indirect. Let me go get some interpretation on that. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 11. Let's speak it. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he had the interpretation because it was a direct message to him. Amen? For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries and in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, the plan of escape, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So he didn't go with flesh and blood right away, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He was there 14 years before he returned. Think about that. 14 years. But did he get a direct message? Yes. And then it overwhelmed him in that direct message because he got revelation that he separated him from all humanity. And he separated himself. He became a tent maker to bring an income, but he just waited on the Lord. He preached wherever he was, but he didn't go out door to door or anything. Why? Because he was so content with getting revelations from God, from direct messages of God, through the Holy Spirit, of course, with direct interpretation, writing most of the gospel here. Does everybody get it? Paul wrote most of these epistles. I mean, think about the importance. You and I are, in other words, we're continuing on chapters, continuing going on beyond the Bible. Why? Because we have testimony. We are all a part of the extension of the Word of God. Every one of us. We're carrying that message. We're carrying a direct message when we speak to someone face to face. It's a direct message. Whether we choose to receive it or not is up to them. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts or mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together, for by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of your works. It is a gift of God, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of your works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them or cooperate with them. That means in this, grace is the plan of escape, which we talked about. But it's an indirect message because it must be what? Interpreted. grace must be interpreted. Does everybody get it? In other words, the gospel is the word of God. It's an indirect message. It must be interpreted. So you must interpret the message of grace so that you can what? Cooperate. Without cooperation, there is no salvation. Does everybody get that? Without cooperation, there is no salvation. That's why Paul warned them, many of them, you have fallen from grace. You've fallen from the plan of escape. What does the word tell us? And those who practice the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're not cooperating with the plan of escape, which is grace. So, you know, many people, be led by the Spirit of God and you'll be sons and daughters of God. God commanded everyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if everybody was baptized in the Holy Spirit, how much more cooperation it'd be? There'd be more interpretations, more revelations, more freedom. There'd be more battles won. Amen? Grace is a plan of escape. It must be interpreted or understood. When something's interpreted, it's understood, isn't it? If it's not understood, you know how many people go up to them, oh, you've been saved by grace. Wow, what are you talking about? You can go up to people and tell them Jesus loves you. Some of them are going to punch in the face because they don't want to hear it. Some of them get offended because of it. Some of them will hug you. But you better have discernment who you're going to say it to. Hallelujah. Think about this. A direct message. The angel appeared to Mary, told her. Amen? Told her, you're going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You're going to bear the Son of God. She said, as your will be. You know, let your will be. So there, Paul had a direct message from God Almighty. Daniel had a direct message from God Almighty. Whether it's through an angel, it's a message from God in the presence of God directly to them. It was understood. Somebody get it? Automatically understood. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching.
Hello.
If you're teaching, what are you doing? You're interpreting. If you're teaching, you're interpreting to individuals what they're learning. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. So what's he doing? He's interpreting grace. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you or deceive you. Oh, hallelujah. The grace of God, the message of salvation. It's an indirect message unless interpreted. It's understood. Then it becomes understood. Amen? When somebody said to me when I remember when I was younger, a couple of weeks ago, no, many moon ago, they'd be talking about born again. I'm like, what's born again? I couldn't interpret that. I never knew what born again was. I didn't even know what a Christian was. I was bound by Catholicism. Roman Catholics, Roman everywhere. I was Roman for the truth and could never find it until Jesus showed up. In fact, next month I celebrate my born again experience. Isn't it awesome? I love it. April 15th, 2:15 p.m. I got my wings. Now, thinking about it, that's near feast day, isn't it? All right. So, yes, we're coming up to all the feasts. Things are about to happen because God does things on the what are the feasts for? They're an indirect message to be interpreted. Why? So he gets our attention. And once revelation comes, contact comes. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried out to him with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, check this. If you're still holding bitterness, unforgiveness, grudges in the heart, God cannot release the interpretation of it. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer for his mercy or for his mercy from me. Hallelujah. You know, if we hold something in our heart, we have a tendency because we're not interpreting correctly or what we call discerning correctly, we make wrong decisions. It moves us out of God's time. We do things out of God's time. And believe me, doing things out of God's time brings judgment eventually. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 1, please. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Well, if you're an individual that can't discern what's direct and indirect or interpret, how can you please God? Because discernment is essential. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, your separation unto him, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. And as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness but holiness. Therefore he who rejects us does not reject man, but God who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So you and I ought to be able to walk and please God. You won't do it if you can't discern or interpret. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, we are servants to the anointing. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. And the mysteries of God must be what? Interpreted. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Wow. Will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Hello. Don't puff yourself up. You know, we get a lot of knowledge. You got to be careful that knowledge doesn't puff you up. The knowledge we get from above should humble us. Amen. It should bring more of the fear of the Lord to us. 1 Corinthians 14, I'm going to close here. Verse 1, let's speak it. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But especially that you may what? Prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Hello. He who interprets. These are gifts of direct and indirect messages from God. You and I, the foundation of it all is interpretation. Interpretation. We're to interpret. Amen. Go to verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a what? A sign. Not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed. That's why it's important that we inform everyone that we all pray in tongues and we praise as a corporate tongues. Somebody understand? They will think you're crazy. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Well, that doesn't happen all the time. Amen. Sometimes people run right out. And it's not because of what's being said, it's because of the presence of God. The presence of God is causing people to run because of the demons that are in them. They can't handle the presence of God. Amen. So in this, we are in such a time. Now, Tuesday, I'm going to talk about the sign of Jonah, which I'm sure some of us have heard about in certain things. But there's a sign of Jonah, which is an end time sign. And Tuesday, we're going to talk about that and bring a direct message that was an indirect message that will be interpreted. Amen. So remember, utilize what God has given you. Use the gifts. Discern. Ask for wisdom. We have the word of knowledge. We speak in tongues. We can interpret. That's why we practice that here. Praying in tongues and speaking out what you see. Amen. Or what you hear. It's important. Put that into practice. You put that more into practice, you're going to be making greater choices. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be imparted to each and every one of us. And let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, as you prepare our hearts for communion. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.